Welcome to the Williams Nikken. Why be hurtin' phone conference line?
I don't know. Have you anybody that what do they say about aneurysms? Do you operate on them or not?
I don't know. My opinion, I don't know.
I wonder if they can gauge the thickness, difference in the thickness in the wall. How do they know if it's really an embolism? An aneurysm or just a kink in a blood vessel, or not a kink necessarily, but a part that just goes out of it. It's, you know, how do they know if it's ballooning and thin the walls of a blood vessel, or if the blood vessel wall is thick, then you probably wouldn't need to operate. I wonder how they tell that. I'll tell him to ask that question when he goes to the doctor.
Well, an aneurysm kind of scares me because, you know, that sounds pretty drastic.
Well, it's probably more drastic if you leave it, I understand. If they leave it rather than tie it off or whatever it is they do.
Yeah.
So. Well, it's 7:01. Karen?
Oh, okay. It is time, isn't it?
It is.
I want all of you to know that I personally am very grateful for these calls for more than one reason. The information we get here is really incredible. But for me, it's also just a great way to start the day, and it really helps me to keep my mind focused. And believe me, I need that right now. This is, and I'm welcoming you to Transparent Terrific Tuesday. And the transparency on my part is that I haven't been doing very well. But, and I mean in keeping my commitments to myself on my health. But what is good is that these calls help us to refresh and to remember, and maybe to pick up little nuggets here and there that will give you the extra drive to stay where you ought to be, to keep doing what you ought to be doing. So anyway, I welcome all of you to our Tuesday call. This is the day that we are to report on our progress. And I've already been a little transparent. I haven't been doing exactly what I should be doing. But I do know this, that my blood pressure has been coming down, which I think is great news, and I think it's because I've been losing weight. And this last Sunday, it was kind of fun. I had two people comment about, you know, that they could tell that I'd lost some weight. Mm. And that says to me, well, just keep hanging in and doing what's right. Anyway, I would like to have all of you give us your comments about what your progress has been and what you're doing, and hopefully you'll have some real good pieces of ideas that will help all of us. So, it doesn't look like there's very many people on the call.
there's quite a few on the phone line.
Okay. That's me.
Who's me?
Joan.
Oh,
in Stillicum.
Joan. Good.
Yeah.
Now, have you been keeping track of your progress?
Well, yes, but, you know, and there's pluses and minuses. Let's see. Let's talk about the minuses. I have discovered gelato. And
you've discovered what?
Gelato. That's an ice cream. And,
you went to Italy.
Yes, and
that's not a good discovery.
I know. Anyway, this morning my blood sugar was 105, which is not okay. I have goals, okay, and I hit them, okay. I mean, except when I don't. But under 100 is what my fasting sugar, blood sugar, needs to be. That's it. And it's 105. And two or three days ago, it was 108. It's also been 93 and 87, but, you know, and I know exactly, you know, what's causing that, and it's the 11 o'clock at night. I eat dinner late, too late, okay? And then once I start eating, you know, I mean, I eat a dessert, and I've got this incredible gelato, and honest to goodness, it tastes so good you can't stand it. So, you know, there you go. And that's why my morning blood sugar is high, you know. So I need to do something about that. Except yesterday, I ordered some, which will be, you know, probably there, you know, in a couple of days. But anyway, so I give it away, you know, quickly as I can. So that's the negative. The positive is I've got my garden, my organic garden, is doing really well, and I've decided to build a hoop house so that I can extend the season. I am doing a lot of juicing, and I do organic stuff. I know it's organic, and my garden is just doing dynamite. I have lettuce that is, you know, the size of cabbage. I mean, it's just gigantic, and I've learned some things. For example, I get from Marlene's, they juice organic foods, and I'm juicing organic stuff too. I put all of that after it's shredded, and then I press it, you know, for the juice. Well, I put that the fiber and what's left over into the garden. Well, Marlene's will give me all of their organic juiced, you know, crushed, you know, pressed substances. So one garden has 2 years now of that, and one garden has 1 year of it, and the difference in the lettuce is, and the vegetables is humongous.
You know what? I'm really glad that you brought up this idea of gardens, because we're going to be talking about that today. But to go back about what you've been having for your snack at 11 o'clock, let me tell you something that you may not have heard that we learned here on this discussion. That do you know that you can take, and this is for all the rest of you to refresh your memory, do you know that you can take an apple, you know, wash it real good and all, and I have one of those things you just push down and you have all these little quarters of apples.
Uh-huh.
And I take a baggie, and I put in, it's not a full scoop of the vanilla protein. Actually, I'm out of vanilla right now. I'm waiting for my shipment. So I used chocolate last night. But then you put in some of your protein drink and some cinnamon.
Yeah.
And I'm telling, and then you put your apple in there and shake it all together.
Oh, yeah.
That is the most incredible treat. It like somebody said once, it's like eating apple pie, only it's really kosher.
Yeah, you know, it's got protein.
Oh, anyway, you might try that.
Mm-hmm.
That helps you, Joan, okay?
Yeah.
Good. Well, thank you. Okay, now let's see. Who else is on here that would like to report?
This is Nancy, and my main thing is the gluten, learning to eat gluten-free, and that is hard to do, especially when you eat out. So
yeah.
I mean, I'm struggling with that, but I do notice a big difference when I do not have anything with gluten. It's just, I don't have the dull headache and the body aches. With my muscles and all. So that's what I'm striving to try to do.
Oh, but, that is good, Nancy. But that is hard, isn't it? Our whole society revolves around the two things that the human body should never have, and that is this gluten, or I'm going to say wheat, although wheat is good if it's not genetically modified. But that and then sugar. And that's what our society is wrapped around, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. But,
well, you keep it up, Nancy.
It's amazing, though, what a difference it makes. But a lot of times you don't know what's in the food when you eat out. So
Yep.
Well, okay, let's see. But you say that you've noticed a difference, right?
Well, see, the first sign for me is the drainage at the back of my throat.
To do what?
The drainage at the back of my throat.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. That's, I don't know if that happens for everyone, but that's my signal.
And that's a common allergic, you know, that's a common body response to don't do it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Margaret, we appreciate you sharing.
That was Nancy.
No, I know that Nancy was confirming, but it was Margaret that was sharing with us her progress.
No, and, I'm getting ready to share.
What was that?
This is Margaret. I'm getting ready to share. But is
Margaret Margaret has not shared yet.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was Nancy.
That was Nancy.
I apologize. Okay,
that's okay.
Margaret, do you want to share with us?
Yes, I was going to share. I first of all, I think it's amazing how you learn something or pick up something almost every day that you didn't know or that you'd forgotten. But actually, I agree with Nancy on the gluten. I eat out a lot as well with different groups of people, and it's hard to select what you're going to eat sometimes. But I do like, since we've gone to the gone back or have are taking into consideration again the blocks of the quantities that we eat, I like that better. I was guessing before mentally. I could see the amounts of food, but now it's better when I really seriously consider it. So I think I feel better in that respect because I think it helps my attitude too. I have a better attitude because I know I'm doing something to help myself, and also I know it's an easy way for me to introduce people to Nican, because there are a lot of people out there who are searching for nutrition and who want to lose weight or something like that. So it's an easy way, I think, to introduce Nican to them. But I have one problem, and that is, like, when I go outside, the weather, there's something, I don't know, I think it's a good allergy season or something. So I have a drainage and all sorts of problems like that right now. But one thing I have is energy. I can't seem to build my energy level up, and I don't know exactly how to do that. I do take the Siaga, the Bergastrol, the Greenzymes, and I don't know, maybe it's the hot weather, I think, one thing zaps my energy. But overall, I like the program, and it's fantastic.
Good. Well, have you ever gone in for testing of allergies?
No, I haven't.
You might try that, because there might be just something that you're allergic to.
Yeah. It could be because when I go outside, I have a drainage too, and also it just seems like it just really takes my energy away. So that's a good point. So I should do that. Thank you for the point.
Yeah.
Karen.
Yes.
I agree with you about Margaret having the testing, and a lot of times we find and see that people who have a drainage reaction, and you can hear me okay?
Yes,
I do.
The drainage reaction is a dairy problem, so you might just try eliminating dairy if you haven't already, Margaret.
I've almost, but okay, I can completely do that. I've eliminated most of it. I seldom have, but just to eliminate the whole thing, I will do that. It'll be easy to do.
Yeah.
I found that almond milk or hemp milk are good substitutes for I'm a coffee drinker, and you know, used to be cream and sugar. Now I don't do sugar, but and I use almond milk, and it's great on cereal, and it substitutes in cooking, and it can actually end the use of cow's milk, which is wonderful for cow babies.
Yep.
Yeah, well, thanks for saying that, because I just bought some almond milk last week, so and I was considering, trying to decide whether to buy some more, so I will. I'll just...
Watch the label on the almond milk, because some of it does have sugar and cane juice added to it.
Right. The diamond people, which do nuts, Diamond is the brand, you know, Diamond Nuts, that's the one that I kind of settled on, the one that it's got 40 for a cup of milk. It's got 40 calories. And it has protein, you know, in it. And it took me a couple months, you know, slowly weaning over. You know, there for a while I put a little maple syrup, you know, half a teaspoon of maple syrup in it, you know, and different stuff, you know. But I, as I was able to taste sugar better, I stopped craving it.
Well, you know what,
Karen,
yeah.
We need to ask somebody to star 6 to mute. If you're traveling, we can hear your car. So we're having some road noise, so please star 6. Well, thank you, whoever did mute, but that's still not the right person.
That's a problem.
Someone, you're driving along, and we're hearing your road noise. Please star 6, and if you wish to speak, then star 6 again to get back and be able to speak. Hello, Steve? Maybe?
Now,
okay.
This is what you'd hear if it was me.
Okay, thanks, Steve.
Oh. Maybe they're in the wind or by an ocean or something.
Well, let's move
along. Okay.
Yeah, do you
have
your window open,
Ruth? I want to get everybody in. Okay, who have we not heard from that would like to report to us?
Karen, this is Nancy. May I just add one more thing about the almond milk? The brand that I get is by, let's see, it's called Almond Dream. I guess that's who makes it. Anyway, they have only 7 grams of sugar, and protein is 1 gram, excuse me, 1 gram. But it has a really nice flavor, and I get just the original. I think they make another one. I'm not sure what, other than original. I'm not
vanilla.
Sure what the type of it is, but it's very good. Oh, okay.
Very good. Okay. Monty and Kathleen, I know you two are on. Do either one of you want to report?
Well, the only thing I've got to say is I'm going back more to the block thing, the block chart, and making my menu up from that. Also, I've gone back and reviewed the book that we used to review, and that was A Week in the Zone with Dr. Barry Sears. And so that's where I'm headed. Also, today I'm going to go get some more good news. I certainly believe, because of the way I've been eating, and I get to see my eye doctor today, and being a diabetic, he goes into the back of my eyes and looks around, and I've been getting some very good reports since I've been back eating more of the natural type of foods, and so I hope to get a good report again today.
Well, we'll look forward to hearing about your update on that. Thank you, Monty.
Okay, this is Kathleen, and I guess I'm thinking, I just spent a few days at a meeting in Seattle, and I had to eat out every meal, except for the green smoothies I took. And I'm wondering if the rest of you have a thing with this. When I ask for maybe salmon or something to be gluten-free, dairy-free, et cetera, sometimes it comes absolutely stripped. Here's one hunk of fish on my plate, nothing else, nothing. And I found myself in a situation, a fine restaurant, and it was just, I had to squeeze lemon, I put salt on it, I asked for olive oil to put on it just to get it down. I don't know, is there some more refined way I should order so that they don't take absolutely everything off my plate just for their own safety? I guess
I should have a card printed out or something, but I don't know quite where to begin with that.
Well, I don't know either. So, any of you have had any experience at ordering salmon?
I have had really good experiences. I'm not sure where you went, Kathleen, but when I ask them and talk to them and say, you know, I need to have it be gluten-free, some of them whip out a special menu. Some of them, they're just so accommodating. Would you like to step? I was in Chelan, and that little restaurant I was there, when I was there, they said, well, we can make other substitutes. Would you like some egg in your salad instead of this or that? I don't remember what I was trying to not have, bacon, I guess. And no gluten, of course. But I really have had good experiences with most of the places. Once in a while, it's pretty hard to find something to eat on the menu, but salad and little fish is usually what I really enjoy it.
Yeah, it sounds like they overcooked it. Salmon, should have juice in it, and it's a common, poor cooking. It should have the tiny little bubbles on the top of the I guess it's blood, fish blood, having, sort of percolated up to the surface of it, and it should be very juicy. Salmon is not a dry, dried fish, and I don't know if you've ever returned. I'm very hard to. It's very hard for me to return food that is, cardboard. But I just would say I would call the cook over and say, "Hey, this is overdone." If you pull the fish apart, the pieces of fish apart, you should see the glistening of the juice. And it sounds like you've got a very dry, overcooked piece of fish.
Well, you can occasionally, and I'm not complaining just specifically about fish or salmon. I was in a great, wonderfully highly rated on the waterfront seafood restaurant.
Oh, said it back.
And all of that is good, but what I'm saying is no matter where I am, sometimes they say, oh, well, then you don't want the potatoes, and then then there's not this and not that. And a lot of times I do get good meals, but sometimes I just miss.
Yeah.
I think that's true whether you're gluten-free or whatever. Sometimes
yeah.
You just get
sure.
a bad one.
Sure it
now
is.
Now you know one to not go to.
I guess I'm saying I don't want to end up with one thing on my plate is kind of the thing it is. No matter what I order, sometimes that happens. And I think it's communication. Sometimes it's the waitress. And she has made a decision about it, and sometimes it might be the kitchen, how they decide it, and then maybe my lack of clarity in ordering, and just thinking about that, what's my part in it.
Yeah. Well, another thing that I do, Kathleen, is I look through all the recipe, what everybody has. Well, this one has some mushrooms, and this one has some avocado, and so when I'm ordering, I say, and could you I see you can have avocado here since I'm not having some bread or anything here. Could I have some avocado? And usually they're pretty accommodating.
Oh, that's a good idea.
That's great.
Just ask for it.
I think sometimes when you go into restaurants that when you say gluten-free, I think sometimes they confuse that with MSG. And, of course, we know there's MSG in pretty much almost anything you get out of a restaurant. So I think they get a little confused exactly what gluten-free means.
I think there's confusion, and I guess that's what I'm looking for, Monty, is that I speak with clarity. And I've had fabulous meals, and sometimes I just tell them that, and the chef gives me something better than I could have dreamed up. It's just a thought.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess we all need to go into the restaurants with a little more clarity, right?
In bold, like Ruth.
Yeah.
What I found over the last 20 years is it's always an exciting adventure what you get when you go into a restaurant.
Yeah, somebody's going to make a lot of money by putting out a restaurant chain that is, you know, natural foods, healthy, whatever, intelligent restaurant chain. They're going to make a lot of money in a couple of years.
Well, that's what we have all over on Vashon Island.
Uh-huh.
Almost all of our restaurants are gluten-free, definitely MSG-free, even our Chinese ones. We have quite a number of restaurants, and they are very, this island is really health-oriented. And, you know, a lot of areas are, but there are still a lot of them that aren't. But I find that people are so much more aware of gluten problem, gluten-free, and MSG. Some of them stare at you like, what? But mostly, people are pretty aware. It's their business.
Yeah, we're slowly educating the world, slowly.
And we're working on it.
Well, listen, I want to, wait a minute, y'all. Is there anyone else that wants to report? Okay. Feel free to contribute, but I want to talk to you guys about something that really hit me hard this past week. And I thought, you know, this is something I really want to share with the group. I got to tell you an experience we had. In 1996, when we moved here to Cleveland, it was our first winter in our new Nikon home, wellness home, and we ended up having 4 feet of snow on the roof of our home. And all of our kids had come home for Christmas, well, not all of them, but a number of them. And our son-in-laws had the kids up on the roof of the roof of our house shoveling snow off. Now, can you imagine letting a kid up on your roof? But there was so much snow that the kids were just having a blast. They'd come sliding down off the roof, and they'd land on about 15 feet of a snow pile that was down on our deck. Anyway, with all that fun with the snow and decorating trees and making goodies, we were just having lots of fun. But at one point, because of all this snow, the road conditions in our area became extremely dangerous. And all of the traffic coming in or out of Cleveland was halted. There were no trucks delivering commodities to the grocery stores, and so consequently, the grocery store shelves were depleted. And there was truly complete pandemonium here in our community. People were just really upset. They just had gone in and stripped the grocery shelves, and people were in a panic. Well, we had lots of people in our home to feed. But guess what? We were not panicked. And can any of you guess why? Ruth probably can. Well, for years, we've been taught that you are supposed to keep a goodly supply of food on hand at all times. And we had a lot of food in our home that was just food that we normally have. We always keep a good stock of everything. And, you know, just last week, the church had a potluck dinner, and we were told that the food we were to bring was to be prepared from our food storage, or in other words, what we already had on hand. We were not to go out and buy anything to create our meal. And we could bring produce from our garden, but otherwise it was to be things that we had stored. And, you know, it was really fun to see how creative everyone was. And this is what was really key. Now, this is not on our program, but all the centerpieces on each table was a cake that represented a natural disaster. There was a cake that looked like an earthquake. There was a volcano, and it was delightful. There was a tsunami lemon meringue pie, and that was, I won't go into all the descriptions, but anyway, there was a mudslide. There was a house on fire, and there was a flood. We should have had a cake on there representing the snowstorm, because that was the natural disaster that had really took Cleveland by a surprise. But anyway, it was a very creative evening, and it's just really interesting to see what the people were able to bring that was nutritious outside of those cakes and that had come from their own home food storage. Now, could any of you right now, if you were told that you could not go to the grocery store today, could you prepare, or maybe, okay, maybe you could do it for tonight because you're probably already prepared, but what if you were told that you wouldn't be able to go to the grocery store for a whole week or maybe 2 weeks? How many of you could prepare a tasty meal that was nutritious with the things that you have right now in your home? Is there anyone that feels confident that they could do that?
I can.
I knew Ruth could. I don't know how many of you have been around Ruth, but let me tell you. And then that's my next theme, as I was going to ask, how many of you have a full-fledged garden? And how many of you, if you don't have a full-fledged garden, how many of you have pots or a mini garden? How many of you grow your own herbs? Did any of you experiment with that vertical garden, you know, that we talked about several weeks ago? And when there is a plentiful supply of fresh vegetables, how many of us can or dry our food? Now, these are things that you need to ask yourself because it is important that we understand that things won't always be as we have it right now. We can have natural disasters, or it might be a man-made disaster, or it might be that your family has some extra pressures financially, where you need to have prepared for those things and have things in your home that will carry you through a long period of time. Now, I want to ask you, just a minute. On these discussions, we have talked about how to eat properly to reduce inflammation. And how can you do that if you do not have access to healthy, nutritious food? And so what I would like to encourage all of you to think about, this right now, this time of the year, is a perfect time to start preparing for a rainy day or a natural disaster or a man-made disaster. And do any of you know how? How would you prepare right now?
My favorite is to grow a garden and get heirloom seeds. That's what I would get for my suggestion. To be sure you have heirloom seeds for extended, be able to extend your being prepared.
Yeah. You know, I hope all of you will listen to what Ruth just said now and really take it seriously. Those heirloom seeds are not genetically modified seeds. Consequently, if you were in a long-term restriction on access to food, genetically modified seeds, seeds will not reproduce themselves. These heirloom seeds, yes.
Karen, but also crossbreeds. You will. If it says F1, if it's a hybrid, it will not reproduce properly.
As well, yeah. And you can naturalize. I have both tomato seeds and chard. For some reason, I don't know why, but, you know, somebody always goes to head, you know, and I have tomato seeds that I save and chard seeds. They're volunteers. When I don't ever plant chard or tomatoes, I mean the small tomatoes, and because they volunteer. And I watch for them, and I transplant them into my chard plot, you know, and they just volunteer. So as soon as they come up and they've got four leaves, I transplant them, and they just do it.
Now, you understand that if you were in my area, you would not have those coming up volunteer. So, because wintertime would kill it off here in Clay Ellum. But anyway, so really take seriously this having your food. But you know, there's another. Well, let me continue on, because there's several things I want to cover with you. Number one is have your own garden, or have a good understanding how to produce your own food. And then there's another factor that all of you can do, whether you live in the city or you're out in the country. Every time you go to the grocery store, you buy extra things of the things that your family enjoy eating, and you know it's nutritious and good. Buy extras every week, and you just stock it away. Or if you come on to a really good sale, you stock up when there's a good sale. And within the inflation of food prices, it just boggles my mind. The other day, I went and I bought only, I got enough food that it kind of, it didn't fill four bags, but I did have four bags that I carried out of the grocery store, and it was $60 worth of groceries. And it just, so, you know, inflation has really hit our food market. So when you see a good sale, stock up on it. And when you have an excess of the fresh fruits and vegetables, which is this time of year on, you're going to have that. Well, whether you grow that or that you buy it, learn how to can your food or dry them. I personally prefer drying.
In
my
opinion,
drying will not destroy the nutrients in your food like canning. But either way, you need to find ways to take advantage of our times when there's lots of good things around us, like the fresh fruits and vegetables. You
yeah,
need
I
to
do.
Karen, I'm going to ask everyone I'm going to mute everybody except you. I hope you came on the host code, Karen.
I did.
I'm going to mute everybody, and then the rest of you can star six to unmute. I can mute everybody to get rid of this noise.
All callers are muted and may unmute themselves by pressing star six.
Very good.
Okay, Karen.
Thank
nice.
You.
Why didn't I do that earlier?
Yeah. Okay, so what I'm trying to encourage all of you to do is to take advantage of this period in our life, or this season of our year, when we will have a lot of wonderful things around us. You shop at the farmer's market or the local fruit stands, and those have some big benefits. Of course, number one is that your produce is going to be a lot fresher, and you can probably depend on it not having the sprays and the things on it that you get in your grocery stores. So anyway, what I'd like to encourage all of you to do is to prepare for a disaster, and who knows what kind of a disaster. I happen to know that there was a time in our life when we went through some really tight financial times. And had it not been for the food storage that we had, we would not have gone through that as gracefully as we did. So whether it's because down the road you might have less of an income, or maybe it's because you're snowed in and nobody can get to the grocery stores, or I don't think any of us are going to experience a tsunami, but I remember Mount St. Helens very well and what happened during that period when we were going through that experience. So we never know what's going to happen, what's out there in front of us. And so right now is the time to prepare. Right now is the time to have nutritious, good things that are stocked away, so that you will be able to carry you and your family and possibly a neighbor through some bad times. Having an understanding and a knowledge of how to grow a garden is one of the best insurance plans that you could ever create in your life. So there's one other thing I want to tell you about. Now, I did not know this one. Maybe, Ruth, you knew this. Did you know that store-bought eggs are bleached and pasteurized. That just blew my mind. I knew about store-bought eggs are probably come from chickens that are fed things that are not all that good for you. But I didn't know that they bleached those eggs and they pasteurized them. They heat them at
How can you pasteurize an egg? It would become a hard-boiled egg, wouldn't it? How could you pasteurize an egg? I don't see how you could pasteurize an egg and not have it be cooked.
They say that they heat it at a high temp for a short time, and because of that, it will destroy, you know, whatever germs might be around, but it also destroys nutrients. And so, it's just something for you to remember. And if you are in a position that you can grow an extensive garden like Ruth does, and Clyde and I always have grown gardens, but when we left Cleellum here for a couple of years and we came back, we were not very diligent about it, and now we're getting back into it. But, you know, it's not just growing a garden. You ought to grow your herbs, and that is something that's really easy, and you can do it on your patio or wherever, especially if you use one of those vertical gardens that we talked about where you can take a pallet, a discarded pallet, and there's directions on how you can create a wonderful vertical garden. But anyway, the whole purpose I felt today was to help all of us understand that there are ways that we can prepare for our future in a very realistic and very systematic way that it will give us, our families, and those around us an insurance plan that you could never buy. And it really will help you to be able to go through difficult times with healthy, nutritious food. Anyway, if there's any other comments about that, I'd love to hear them. So, Ruth, you'll have to unmute them.
Well, they can unmute themselves. They can star six and then talk.
Okay. Yeah.
One of the other things I think is very important in regards to being caught in emergency, I know I live out here in the country and on a well and whatever, and two things that I don't think most people ever think about because it just seems to very common to them, that's a thing called water.
Yeah.
Water is, when you're on a well or even in town sometimes, people, they just automatically think they can turn on the faucet and there's the water, but if the electricity grid goes down or you're on a gravity fed and you're fed from a large, huge tanks, reservoirs, let's say, that those reservoirs, if it's even gravity fed, that'll run out. One of the other things is particularly water is real good for sanitation purposes. And I know what I do here, I've got over 20 gallons of stored water which is non-drinking water, which is for the purpose of being able to refill my toilets when they need to be flushed. I know Ruth doesn't have to worry about that. She's got a good reservoir there with her swimming pool and everything else, but most people don't think about things like that. Of course, water, if we have our waterfall, we got no problem there. The other thing is that if electricity grid goes down and you don't have, and you're thinking about, well, that's okay, but the other thing is, do you have another source of cooking? In other words, another source of preparing your food. So that's just my thought in regards to preparation.
Boy,
I don't think a lot of people think about. It's easy to go to the wall and hit the switch. It's easy to go to the refrigerator, to the stove and turn on the switch, and you got power to heat your coffee or food or whatever. The other thing is, a lot of people when they put in food for emergency purpose or whatever, they always go out and stock their freezers. That's great, but freezers, when there's no electricity, within 2 to 3 days, you hadn't better be eating anything. So if you ever do run into a situation like that, the first thing that people should do is go to their freezers and utilize as much as they possibly can.
Or know how to dry.
So let's continue this conversation tomorrow. Mary Lou probably, I don't think, will be here. She's still traveling here in Washington. And so let's continue this tomorrow. I think you guys have started on quite some topics that we could continue talking about. I'd like to talk a little bit about the food drying that Monty is just now bringing up. And so we'll continue that tomorrow. Would that be okay, Karen?
Thanks. Yeah, we did go over time. But thank you, everybody. Love your input.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Have a great day.
Bye.
Good job, Karen.
Thank you all. Have a great day.